They can perch, but they can't walk. And swifts, the birds most highly adapted for flight, have such weak feet that they can't even perch. They can only hang by their long claws or shuffle a few inches. But in return, swifts can fly rapidly and efficiently, and they have great maneuverability. They and their close relatives, those hummingbirds, are the only birds that can fly straight up. That enables the swifts to exit chimneys and cavities in trees where they nest. Now that's an efficient flyer. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Palazar. I lost my pants, all because I was listening to Tell Us a Tale, and now I forgot where I put them.
I lost my pants, has anybody seen them? Can't go anywhere until they return.
My name is Peter Jones.
And I'm Jen Hoffman.
And you're listening to Tell Us a Tale live from the historic Prism in Charlottesville, Virginia. We are here with the Jan Smith Band and special guest King Wilkie to tell you some fractured fairy tales. Does anyone know what a fractured fairy tale is?
No.
Oh, a fractured fairy tale. Let's see. Who knows the story of Cinderella?
Me.
You know that story. Well, a fractured fairy tale is where you take the story and you change a little bit to make it a little funny. It's like you break away from the original story or you fracture from it. So that's what we're going to be doing in this edition of Tell Us a Tale from the Prism. In fact, the story that we're going to be telling you now is a prehistoric fairy tale called Dinorella by Pamela Duncan Edwards, and that's published by Hyperion. Dora, Doris, and Dinorella lived down in the sand dunes in a dinosaur den. Dora and Doris did nothing all day. They dumped debris around the den. They never did the dusting or the dishes. Dinorella was dainty and dependable. Dora and Doris were dreadful to Dinorella. All day they demanded,
"Dinorella, dig the garden."
"Dinorella, fetch us drinks now."
"Dinorella, would you start the dinner already?"
One day a card was delivered to the den.
"Dinosaur dance, Duke Dudley's den at dusk. Orders, dandelion cola, dancing until dawn."
Duke Dudley was the most dashing dinosaur in the dunes.
"I would die for a date with the Duke."
"Definitely, oh definitely."
"Oh, a dance? How divine."
"Well, you can't go to the dance, Dinorella. You're just too dowdy."
"You're too dull. That's all you are. You're a dull, dull dinosaur, and you don't have a decent dinosaur jewel to wear. Of course, you can't go to the dance."
Poor Dinorella felt down in the dumps as she watched her stepsisters depart. Suddenly, Dinorella heard a droning noise.
"Don't be dismal, Dinorella,"
said Fairy Dactyl.
"You shall go to the dance."
"Oh, but I'm so drab, and I don't have decent dinosaur jewels."
"I'll soon deal with that, dear. These jewels will outdazzle all the other dinosaur jewels. Don't you worry, dear."
"Oh, darling Fairy Dactyl, thank you.
And with her diamonds dangling, she set out for the dance. Dusk had fallen when Dinorella heard a deafening disturbance coming from the direction of Duke Dudley's den.
"Oh my, what's that?"
A dastardly deed was taking place. A Deinonychus was dragging off the Duke.
"I'm done for. He will devour me."
"Indeed I will. I'll be digesting you by daybreak."
Dinorella was not a daring dinosaur, but something drastic had to be done.
I may become dessert, but I'm determined to drive away that dreaded carnivore."
Dinorella climbed to the top of the dune.
"You disgusting dummy! You drop the dune!"
Dinorella began to hurl dirt balls at the Deinonychus. The dumbfounded Deinonychus stopped in disbelief.
"Who called me a dummy?"
The moon's light caught Dinorella's dangling diamonds. Dots and dabs of light darted toward the Deinonychus.
"A devil! What? See its dreadful demon eyes!"
Dinorella detached a diamond and directed it toward the Deinonychus.
"Take that!"
The diamond hit the Deinonychus hard in his dentures.
"The devil will destroy me with its deadly eyes."
And he dumped Duke Dudley and departed double quick. The den was dense with dinosaurs dashing about in distress.
"A demon! We're doomed!"
"You dimwits! Demons don't throw diamonds. It was a damsel who defended me with her dazzling dinosaur jewel. When I discover her, I shall ask her to be my darling."
All the dinosaur dames were delirious.
"The jewel is mine.
No, it's mine.
It's mine. It's mine.
It's mine. It's mine, and you just stay away from it."
"No, it's definitely mine. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's mine, and I want it now. I'm the damsel you desire."
"I doubt it. Your dinosaur jewels don't match."
Just then, Fairy Dactyl arrived at the dance. She quickly saw the dilemma.
"Where is Dinorella?"
Dinarella? That dopey domestic?
Dinarella? She's back at the den. What do you want with her?
But Fairy Dactyl spied Dinarella dodging behind the dune.
Dinarella, dear, come down now.
So down came Dinarella, looking distracted.
She wears but one dazzling jewel. Oh, Dinarella, you're adorable.
Thank you.
You're definitely quite a dish.
Oh, thank you.
I beg you to be my dearest.
Oh, dreamy.
And they danced off into the dawn.
Drat,
said Dora and Doris. My name is Peter Jones.
And I'm Jen Hoffman.
And you're listening to Tell Us a Tale live from the Prism in Charlottesville, Virginia. We're here with the Jan Smith Band and special guest King Wilkie to tell you some fractured fairy tales and hear some great music. And I need to know whether you've ever heard of the story of Goldilocks before. Jen, do you think anybody If they were Goldilocks, would feel badly for all those things they've done?
I do. I think some people would feel badly. Yeah, how many of you would feel badly about going into the Three Bears' house and eating their food and sleeping in their bed and sitting in their chairs?
Breaking their chairs, too.
Breaking one, too, yeah. A bunch of people.
You really should feel guilty for going into somebody's home without being invited, right? Well, we're going to tell you a story now that has to do with Goldilocks herself and how badly she felt later on after she realized what she had done. It's called Goldilocks Returns by Lisa Campbell Ernst, and that's published by Simon & Schuster.
As a child, she was known as Goldilocks, and she was very, very naughty indeed. Her favorite hobby was snooping in houses where no one was at home until, of course, all that dreadful trouble that she had with bears. Then Goldilocks grew up, and the older she got, the worse she felt about her horrid behavior. She shortened her name, and she pinned up her curls so no one would recognize her. Goldie opened a shop to help people protect themselves against snoops. But no matter how she tried to leave her life of crime behind, it haunted her day and night. She had nightmares about bears. She cried at the mere sight of a teddy bear. Her customers even began to look like bears.
"Oh, I can't take it any longer. It's time I set things right. I know it's been over 50 years, but I can't stop thinking about those bears."
Early one morning, Goldie loaded up her truck, turned her shop sign to closed, and zoomed off toward the deep, dark woods. Well, at that very moment, the three bears, whom she had scared out of their wits years before, were sitting down to breakfast. They were Papa Bear and Mama Bear and their son, who, though he had not been a baby for over 50 years, he still went by the name Baby Bear. Due to the fright brought on by Goldilocks, he still had a wee little voice.
Mama.
Their breakfast, as usual, was porridge, and as it had been every day since any of them could remember, it was much too hot to eat.
Grab your hats. Let's get out of here.
And the three unsuspecting bears left for their daily walk. Well, no sooner had the bears left than Goldie screeched to a stop in front of their cozy cottage.
"Oh, my, it hasn't changed a bit."
Strapping her tool belt on, Goldie walked to the door and knocked. A smile crept across her face as she realized the bears, again, were not at home. She walked right in.
"Oh, no luck. The same problem. I'll fix that. I've got my drill and my screwdriver. Okay, here, one lock here, and another here, and a padlock, a double bolt. My super secret anti-snoop lock, it'll keep out anybody. And I only use this in the most serious cases. Won't they be absolutely delighted?"
Well, next Goldie headed for the kitchen, and there sat the three bowls of porridge.
"Oh, goodness, it's that same goop as before. I think I'm going to empty all of that garbage into the sink. They won't have to eat this nasty, tasty stuff anymore. I think I'm going to give them some of my rutabaga breakfast bars and some celery juice. I think they'd like that quite a lot."
Well, Goldie stocked the cabinets with the rutabaga breakfast bars and celery juice enough to last for months. And while she was at it, she threw away any food she thought was unhealthy or she didn't like herself.
"Now, to spruce this place up a bit. Oh, I know just what I'm going to do. I've got some fabric and I've got my staple gun here. Oh, look at this. Oh, this is wonderful."
And the results were simply stunning. Well, feeling better, Goldilocks burst into the living room.
"Egads, that baby bear, he made a rocking chair, actually, from this broken chair. I'm going to fix that. And no, I'm not going to let them leave anything like it was. This chair is still too soft, and this one's too hard." And
what she did was she took stuffing out of one and put it into the other until it was just as she liked it. She hung hoity-toity drapes, and she scattered pillows and covered all the furniture with shiny plastic covers.
"Oh, this is just wonderful. I'm a regular Martha Stewart, aren't I? Yes. Oh, boy, I should have my own show, I think."
Well, Goldie raced up the stairs to the three bears' bedroom.
"Goodness gracious, it's just as I remembered. This bed is too hard, and this bed is too soft.
And before you could say Rip Van Winkle, she had adjusted the stuffings to her finicky liking. Goldie then sprayed her favorite ravishing roses perfume in the air and tied bouquets of plastic flowers around the room for a back-to-nature look.
It's glorious, just glorious. The bears will be so grateful. They'll thank me and forgive me for those horrible things I did years ago.
And suddenly, Goldie was exhausted. And once again, Baby Bear's bed was just right. Before she knew it, Goldie had drifted off to her most peaceful sleep in 50 years. Well, the bears, meanwhile, were finally returning home from their walk, and seeing the truck, they began to worry. They hadn't had much luck with visitors in the past.
What? What's going on? Who put locks on the doors?
Oh, no! Oh, my gosh! Oh, my heavens! Look! Look, Mommy and Daddy!
With jaws dropping and eyes popping, the two older bears did just that. Papa Bear snarled at the sight of the table and bellowed in his big, deep voice.
Someone has taken my porridge!
Someone has taken my porridge, too!
Oh, somebody's taken my porridge, and they threw it all away!
Well, memory told the bears to race to the living room, which they did, and it was a shocking sight. Papa Bear's knees buckled, and he fell into his now poofy chair.
Someone has been fooling with my chair.
And mine is now hard as a rock. Someone has been fooling with my chair, too.
Someone's been fooling with my chair, and they put it back together. I want my hobby horse back.
All three bears ran helter-skelter up the stairs.
P.U., what's that smell, baby?
Oh, I don't know. What is it?
It's ravishing roses. Look at the empty bottle.
Oh,
well, the two older bears didn't even check their beds. They knew just where to look, and what they saw made their fur stand on end.
Oh, no. She's back. Someone's slipping in my bed, and here she is again.
And at that moment, Goldie's eyes popped open.
Oh, boy, you're home. How wonderful. Come here, you. And you, let me give you a hug. You're so cute. Oh, you're lovely. Look at what I've done for you.
The shocked bears opened their mouths to protest, but Goldie raced on and on.
Now, don't thank me, of course. I know you're very grateful, but after all, I was the one who caused the trouble to begin with. Of course, I've more than made up for that. Naturally, I fixed a few things around the house, and I got rid of that nasty porridge that you've all been eating. You'll simply love the rutabaga breakfast bars. They're fat-free. So you shouldn't have any trouble trying to lose weight, Papa Bear, in case you were thinking about it.
Well, a growl began to grow in Papa Bear's throat, but before he could get it out, Goldie tossed him the keys to her fancy locks, hugged them all again, climbed in her truck, and she was off.
Wait!
Come back, you!
But it did no good, and as her truck rounded a curve in the road, the bear saw a flash of gold. Goldie, smiling, unpinned her curls and shook them out in the breeze. The dazed bears slowly turned back to their cottage, and they moved awkwardly about their fancy schmancy house. They couldn't eat. They couldn't get comfortable in their chairs, and so finally they went to bed. But nobody slept a wink. The next morning, the three exhausted bears sat at the kitchen table, miserably staring at their rutabaga breakfast bars and their celery juice.
Oh, well, maybe we should go for a walk, Papa Bear. What do you think?
Nothing else to do. I don't want to eat this stuff.
Oh, boy.
So the three bears set off through the woods, relieved to be out of their house. But just then, Baby Bear spied something through the trees. It was a very mischievous-looking little girl, skipping along the path that led straight to their cottage.
Oh, no, not again! We didn't lock the door. Quick, stop her. She might eat her food. She might mess up the fancy things. She might break my chair again.
The bears began to run after the girl, but then they suddenly stopped.
Eat the food?
Mess up the fancy things.
Break my chair.
And very slowly, they all smiled, and then turning around, the bears happily continued on their walk.
We're going to close out this half hour of Tell Us a Tale live from the prison with a tune from the members of King Wilkie, a terrific... What's that, Peter? I think I've got a frog in my throat. We've got a terrific young bluegrass band here, King Wilkie. You can find out more about them at kingwilkie.com. From the farthest away from me, we've got Mr. Theodore Pitney on guitar, Mr. Reed Burgess on that little mandolin there, and boy, size, look at that thing. A big upright bass with Mr. Colin McClear. Yes, Colin's a big boy. Next to Colin is Abe Spear on the banjo, and behind me is John McDonald on guitar. And they're going to be doing a tune off of their album, True Songs, called In the Pines.
How are you ready?
Oh, sure, buddy.
Hi, this is Pete Seeger. When it comes to telling stories, better do it again. That was take one. Here's take two, number three. Hi, this is Pete Seeger. When it comes to good storytelling and music, it doesn't get much better than listening to Tell Us a Tale with Peter Jones.